Well, if you're like me, you live a busy life. You don't really have time for many days off. That's why I talk so much about your mitochondria, because they generate about 90% of the energy your body uses. And keeping your mitochondria strong is one of the best ways to keep fatigue at bay. But these little mitochondria, darn things, are expensive to run. They use a huge amount of raw materials, especially when it comes to minerals. The problem is most people, including you and me, probably don't get enough minerals. And without minerals, your mitochondria don't have the cofactors they need to make energy. More than 97% of Americans don't get enough potassium. About 80% are deficient in magnesium. 40% are deficient in calcium. And those are three of the big ones. There's close to a dozen other trace minerals that are important for mitochondrial function, and most of us don't get enough of them, and you definitely can't get them from, say, table salt. It turns out that trying to take all the minerals you need by taking single mineral supplements isn't only hard because you need a ton of pills, but it's not the most effective way to get your minerals. That's why I take liquid, humic, and fulvic complexes. These are full spectrum mineral supplements, which means you get all the essential minerals your body needs in one go without a daily handful of massive amounts of pills or very large capsules or anything else that's hard to swallow. I use Beam mineral supplements because they're almost 100% bioavailable. They come in a liquid form that's easy to drink. It's just two bottles. I keep them in my pantry, throw back a shot a few times a day. They're a great way to refill your mineral stores, especially for those of you out here who are haunting your sauna on a frequent basis, or sweating, or doing hot yoga, or anything else. Keep your mitochondria running strong. So if you want to up your mineral game, give Beam Minerals a try. Go to Beam Minerals, B-E-A-M, minerals.com, and use code BEN at checkout for 20% off your first order. Well, if you're tired of spending hours on cardio with minimal results, then listen up, because I got a game-changing fitness breakthrough for you. The Carol Bike, science-backed, time-saving solution trusted by experts for optimizing health and longevity. They use this special form of a workout called a rehit, which allows you to achieve superior health and fitness benefits compared to regular cardio in 90% less time. That's amazing. That's a lot of time, 90%. Studies show that by doing Carol's 5-minute workout just three times a week, you can improve your fitness by 12%, reduce your risk of type 2 diabetes by 62%, and even wind back your internal body clock by 10 years. The science is clear. Carol Bike is your ticket to a healthier and more vibrant life. You got to try it to believe it and to see what I'm saying. I mean, it's not like a walk in the park. When you're pushing hard in those intervals, you're pushing, but then it's just like over and it's done and it walks you through it. It's very motivating. It's 5 feet away from me right now. It's right here in my office, my cool little exercise toy in my office. So you get $250 off your Carol Bike. You don't have to wait any longer. You can join over 25,000 riders and visit carolbike.com today. Carolbike.com. I get laughed at, maybe because it's a little bit woo-woo, esoteric, invisible, whatever. But I use quantum energy. I pray over my food when I eat. I try and emanate positive emotions and feelings towards people. I do like little breath work and Tibetan longevity exercise moves to charge up my body with invisible energy. And yes, I even blast my home and my body with certain quantum energy products like necklaces and little boxes that I can use to charge up food. And I get this all from this company called Lila Q. Now, I realize that some quantum energy stuff is not provable by science, but Lila does have third-party studies revealing a remarkable 20 to 30% increase in ATP production, a vital process for cells. Quantum energy has over 59 studies already done and counting. These are randomized double-blind studies these folks are doing for blood quality and HRV optimization. I can't explain it, okay? I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I can explain how quantum energy would increase blood energy or blood quality. Could be placebo. I don't know. But all I can tell you is I wear their necklace. I use their products. I blast my home with their energy. And it's called Lila Q. I've got a podcast with them, a few, if you want to take a deeper dive. But you just go to the website. Check it out. It's kind of fun to surf around. And you know what? If anything, you're going to have some cool looking conversation products at your house and hanging around your neck. I love them. Lila Q, LEELAQ.com. Use code BEN10 for 10% off. LeelaQ.com. Use code BEN10 for 10% off. In this episode of the Ben Greenfield Fitness Show.
It's actually highly organized criminal organizations that get involved. I mean, the Russian mafia, you can track it anywhere. They're smart because there's low risk but high reward in counterfeit supplements, especially on the practitioner grade. I studied labels, you know, that's what I did. I could pick stuff out, but the really good ones, I couldn't tell. The only way we could tell is we had to send the actual product to the lab and see what the ingredients came back. I want to be able to control it so I know that what you're getting is the best. It's not exactly the best way for me to grow my business, but it's the best for my clients.
He's an expert in human performance and nutrition. Voted America's top personal trainer and one of the globe's most influential people in health and fitness. His show provides you with everything you need to optimize physical and mental performance. He is Ben Greenfield.
Power, speed, mobility, balance. Whatever it is for you, that's the natural movement. Get out there. When you look at all the studies done, studies that have shown the greatest efficacy.
All the information you need in one place, right here, right now, on the Ben Greenfield Fitness Podcast.
Hey folks, it's Ben Greenfield, and my guest today is named Gary Collins. And Gary is a former FDA special agent. Before I jump in and tell you a little bit more about Gary, I want to tell you that you should at some point head over to the show notes and check out a picture of Gary because he's freaking fit. I want to ask you, Gary, actually at some point, oh heck, maybe I'll do it right now. How old are you?
I'm 45.
Okay. So you're 45. You are, as we say here in the fitness industry, ripped. Like, you obviously practice what you preach. And the reason that I'm telling our listeners this is one thing that you and I are going to talk about today is, you know, why it seems like so many people in the fitness and the biohacking industry appear to be kind of fat, sick, and unhealthy. but before we jump into that and kind of talk about your story, you're a former FDA special agent. And for those of you listening in, you can go to bengreenfieldfitness.com/unfit to learn a little bit more about Gary. But he was raised in the high desert in the Sierra Nevada mountain range, and he's been in the fitness industry for over 30 years. After a career in military intelligence, he worked for the U.S. State Department, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, a.k.a. the FDA, as a special agent. So this took him around the world and gave him a perspective on how the U.S. and the rest of the world gets affected by food and drug and healthcare policies. And he has worked in a lot of different situations in terms of everything from protecting some of the most powerful people in the world to investigations involving big tainted pet food death cases in the U.S. to dealings with counterfeit prescription drug rings all around the world. So he's kind of this hybrid of a health expert and also a special agent investigator kind of rolled into one. So he also, if you want to check out his website, he has a program, and we'll talk a little bit about that today too, called the Primal Power Method. The Primal Power Method. And I'll link to that in the show notes as well as everything else we talk about over at bengreenfieldfitness.com/unfit. But the very, very first question that I want to ask you, Gary, just because I think it's so freaking cool, possibly, is what is a special agent? Like what? I don't really understand. What does a special agent do? Because it sounds cool, but I don't. Maybe you're just sitting at a desk. I don't know.
Well, yeah, and it's confusing to the, you know, lay person. Far as to me, it's natural. I was in government almost 20 years, almost half my life. It was a criminal investigator. That's the federal government's title, is they call it a special agent. You know, most people look at like the FBI. That's the biggest name out there, right? Well, we're all criminal investigators. We go through similar academies or the same academy, and we all have our piece of the pie that we investigate. So I have a bachelor's degree in criminal justice, a master's degree in forensic science. And I also have an AS degree in, I call it sports fitness, but it's more, I can't even remember the official title. but I have a hodgepodge of background, but it's always been primarily in athletics and health in one form or another.
Okay, gotcha. So when you were working with the FDA, for example, as a special agent, what did you do with the FDA?
Well, that was basically criminal investigations, and my specialty was counterfeit drugs. But it ranged, you know, in the federal government, especially in smaller agencies, you don't only work your cases, but you have to work everyone else's. So you work a wide variety, usually, unless you're in a big agency like the FBI, where you're specifically investigating one thing all the time for the most part. But I was involved in the Barry Bonds investigation. I was involved in the Purina pet food case, counterfeit drugs, and that tied into counterfeit supplements and other products, intellectual property cases, which tied into counterfeiting, steroids, you name it. I mean, I did it, and that was with the FDA and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. I did a lot of grant fraud in the medical industry, as far as grants being handed out, Dr. Feelgoods, big medical chains, doctors, as far as, you know, billing for services not provided, doing unnecessary surgeries. So
I want to ask you about some of this stuff for sure. Yeah. But are you still a special agent?
No. I left the government 5 years ago.
Okay. So you left.
Yeah.
They didn't can you?
No.
Okay. No. Just checking. I wasn't sure if, you know, you're barking on your website and writing these blog posts if they decided to just get rid of you. I want to ask you about something you just mentioned, though. Counterfeit supplements. Mm-hmm. What did you find in the world of counterfeit supplements?
Well, and like I said, that derived from counterfeit drugs. And I was the head agent of a case that was one of the biggest counterfeit prescription drug rings in the world. In dealing with this guy, he'd been around a long time, and it was actually a family business. And what I found is that these guys just don't kind of conduct their business just into one counterfeit good. They run counterfeits of all sorts. So, I mean, I was, you know, doing the investigation, and I had all their emails, and I'd done multiple search warrants, and they're talking about counterfeit, you know, Heinz ketchup, Jiffy peanut butter. There was toothpaste.
What's that even mean? Like counterfeit Heinz ketchup? Like somebody is making Heinz ketchup that's not really ketchup, or that's not made by the Heinz Corporation, or yeah. What?
The counterfeit industry, I know you've done travel overseas, is huge. It's second to terrorism as far as the financial damage it causes in the world. And with that, I worked with groups as far as ICE and other groups that we investigated counterfeit products. And what it is it's a product that is made not by the manufacturer. This is huge in China and India, especially China. China, there is cities that do nothing but produce counterfeits. I mean, that's all they do. It's a massive, massive market. And people think it's backstreet deals and all that. It ends up right on big company shelves. We could track it right to Walgreens, Walmart, you name it. And it's because it ends up in the wholesale market. And no one knows. Basically, unless you have a background in it, you're not going to be able to tell a counterfeit from a real from the packaging.
So in terms of supplements, nutritional supplements, for example, that a lot of people are taking, mm-hmm. when you're buying a supplement from, say, like GNC or Walmart or Super Supplements or wherever else, is that regulated? Is there a way to know if that supplement is made by the manufacturer that says it's making it? Or are we more talking about the kind of stuff people buy off of like Amazon or eBay?
It's all. There is no way really to track counterfeits once they enter the wholesale market. And where I noticed it to be the most prevalent, even though it's in the lower end supplement lines, but these, it's actually highly organized criminal organizations that get involved. I mean, the Russian mafia, I mean, you can track it to anywhere because they're smart, because there's low risk, but high reward, especially on the practitioner grade. Because the practitioner grade supplements, only technically practitioners are supposed to be selling. But if you do a search in Amazon, eBay, even just the general internet, you can find these supplements all over the internet. They're everywhere. And you're all, well, how are they being sold?
Well, yeah. I mean, you go to one website and like a certain supplement, like, you know, amino acids, for example, will be $60 on the manufacturer's website and then 30 on eBay and maybe like 45 on Amazon. But at the same time, like I've been to supplement manufacturing facilities, mm-hmm. and typically what I've noticed is on the bottle, they'll have like an imprint, right? Like a series of letters or some kind of a code. Yeah. And then that matches up with the actual label. And if someone has taken like a blank bottle without that imprint code and put it, you know, just like slapped any old label on there, mm-hmm. you would technically know. like, are there things you can look for like that, like a bottle that doesn't have like the little like imprint embossed deal in the plastic or something like that to know if it's counterfeit?
That's one of the biggest telltale signs. Also pixelated labels, because usually, you know, supplement manufacturers, they'll use higher end printing than a lot of these counterfeit rings. But these counterfeit rings are smart. They actually have printing presses that are set up specifically just to counterfeit labels, high end. And a lot of these are done overseas, obviously. But with that, they've gotten smart in the sense that they know that people look for lot numbers. So what they'll do is they'll buy the actual supplement to figure out what the lot numbers are. And then they'll print that, you know, whatever code on their labels. So it's tricky. Mm. It really is tricky. I studied labels, you know, that's what I did. I could pick stuff out, but the really good ones, I couldn't tell. The only way we could tell is we had to send the actual product to the lab and see what the ingredients came back.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to ask you. Like, does it matter, right? Like, are the ingredients actually that much different?
In all cases, anything that I sent to the lab, yes.
Like how?
Nothing came back exact. It could be anything from containing large amounts of sawdust to not very much of the active ingredient that it says it has, or herbs, to having 10 times the amount of the active ingredient or certain herbs. It was all over the board. I mean, I never got anything back that came back exact of what the actual product was. Now, there are times when it can, and that's when another big thing that people will do, and this comes back to the actual companies. I actually know a guy who worked for a bigger supplement company that confirmed what I had said, because some people didn't believe me. And I said, I'm telling you, this stuff happens. I did it for a living. Is these supplement companies and drug companies do the same thing? Is once it gets close to expiration, what they will do is they will actually sell it pennies on the dollar to someone else. And then that's where that guy takes it, and then he relabels it, or they'll even relabel it themselves. They'll take it and print new labels and pay someone, you know, $10 an hour to peel all the labels off of the expired supplement or close to expired supplement, and then turn around and sell it with the new expiration date.
It's so crazy how like humans will see something and see the label on it and just assume that it is what it says it is because it has the official looking label. It's like if you read something in a book, it's so easy to assume that because it's printed word, it must therefore be true. It's this strange, like irrational psychology that we seem to be hardwired with. It's really weird. And it's scary too. I mean, when you say stuff like sawdust, it's like, and
oh, I didn't mention the rat feces and some of the other nice stuff that was in there.
Well, the other thing I was going to ask you about was steroids. Yeah. Especially for those of us who are doing things where we're going to be like peeing into a cup after a race. Did you find anything like that?
Oh yeah. And that's what you would find as well. And that's where a lot of supplement companies got in trouble, was doping their supplements. Cause we know, I mean, I've been in this business a long time. I've been an athlete a long time. I know what works and what doesn't work. And if a supplement comes out and people are getting amazing results, there's a good chance it's doped. And what a lot of these guys, especially in the bodybuilding worlds, would do is they would put active steroids in their protein powders and some of their other, you know, pill form supplements. And of course, everyone's getting great results.
Yeah.
And I remember, you know, when people, you know, a lot of athletes, you know, when they're peeing positive and everyone go, oh, and they'd come out and they go, hey, I didn't know. I was just taking supplement X.
Right.
And I would say some of it was BS. I mean, athletes, you know, they were doping, but I think some of them too weren't. I mean, they were just taking a supplement that was spiked. And these supplement companies kind of prey upon that if you get these great results, I mean, remember, what was it? Oxycut or whatever back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
I had friends who were just addicted to that. You know, and yeah, I mean, as an athlete, you got to be incredibly careful, especially if you're getting tested.
Do you personally use supplements?
I do. And I have my own supplement line.
Really?
And I didn't start that way. I never wanted to sell supplements. I sold all practitioner grade because I used them with clients, because my clients would go out and buy the crap.
What do you mean? What do you mean practitioner grade?
Practitioner grade are supplements that are made by supplement companies that only health practitioners can purchase.
Okay.
And you can only sell them at MSRP if you're going to sell them, and sell them especially on the websites. That's why I tell people, it's a telltale sign when you see a certain supplement that you like that is way cheaper. The odds are that's either counterfeit, stolen, or expired. Because there's no way. I mean, I was seeing supplements, practitioner grade supplements, being sold for less than what I paid for them.
Yeah.
You know, there's
so practitioner grade would be like, do you mean like some of these like bigger companies that you see when you go to a physician that you can only get from behind like the glass medicine cabinet, and you can't find those on Amazon or at Walmart or GNC? You can only buy them from the doc.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, and that's why. And that's why I carried them, is because I knew that the quality was good, and my clients would derail themselves and go to, you know, Walmart and buy the cheapest form of what I told them to take they could find. And actually, instead of helping them, they ended up hurting them. And then I'd have to start my work all over and try and figure out what the heck they were doing to themselves. So I started doing that. But then I started noticing that those supplements were getting counterfeited. And I went, oh, I can't win. So, you know, I eventually created my own supplement line because of that, and I only sell it. I do not sell it on Amazon. I do not have any affiliates. I do not have any wholesale. You can only get it from me, and it's not the best business model for anyone who's an entrepreneur or business person, but my business and everyone who listens to me and follows me knows that I want control. I want to be able to control it, so I know that what you're getting is the best and that you're not getting it from someone else, or, you know, and it's, like I said, it's not exactly the best way for me to grow my business, but it's the best for my clients.
So do you think that the FDA should have a different mechanism via which it's regulating the supplement industry? Do you think things should be changed?
That's a tough one. And with my history in the government and as a self-sufficiency guy and, you know, libertarian.
I was going to say, you're like a survivalist kind of.
Kind of. Yeah. I don't like to term myself that. It was just like primal and survivalist. People go, hey, Gary, you're this. And I went, oh, really? I didn't know that.
But you, I didn't mention this. You kind of like live off the grid and build your own home and do that whole like prepper type of thing, right?
Not prepper. Prepper is different than, it's weird. You get in that world, and that's why I don't like to put terms on myself. I just tell people I'm a guy who just wants a simplified life and wants to not have to rely upon other people to support me, is the best way to put it. That's why I'm a self-sufficiency advocate. And it's kind of going back even to the primal, but to, you know, like how my grandparents were raised. You know, everyone was taught how to work on, you know, the tractor, the truck. You grew your own, you had a little bit of your own crops. I mean, everyone had something they grew. Everyone knew their local farmer. You knew how to build a house if you had to. You built your own barn. That's kind of how I look at it, is today we don't have any tangible skills in order to survive and thrive on our own.
Yeah.
That's what I kind of advocate.
Right. But having like a garden, growing your own food, getting in touch with nature, that kind of
thing. Yeah. And so, you know, that's how I tell people. I'm a person who uses common sense and rational thought. You know, never go to extremes. That's one of my principles in the Primal Power Method, is avoid extremes. Keep it simple is another one. I wouldn't want the government too involved. But you're never going to remove that element, too. You have to be a realist and understand that there's always going to be a government, unless things go really wrong. And if there isn't, well, you're not going to be worried about whether your supplements are regulated or not. You know what I mean? You have a whole host of other problems.
Well, on your website, you say if Americans really knew what was going on in the area of healthcare and nutrition in this country, they would be appalled. You obviously just talked about counterfeit supplements and counterfeit ketchup and peanut butter. What else do you think are some of the biggies?
Well, let me go back to just to kind of clarify that. I don't know if I answered that real well, but what I want to tell people is that a lot of people, especially in my area, like to blame the government for everything. When it comes to supplements and buying good products, the first person that falls upon is you as the consumer to do your proper research. Not that you can't get duped.
Yeah.
But also to self-regulate. I think the industry would serve itself better by self-regulating, in the sense that I know numerous guys who have started supplement companies, got in all kinds of trouble with the government, you know, had to shut down their company. We've interviewed them, you know, we know who they are. And then they turn around and do another company and we don't blackball them. I mean, us in the industry, we have the power of saying, hey, dude, you're a scumbag. You're done. I'm not allowing you in my forum. I'm not referring you to anyone. And matter of fact, I'm going to warn people about you.
Well, that's kind of like what a big part of libertarianism is, or capitalism is if somebody makes a crappy product or hurts people, it's not necessarily, and I know some people might disagree with this, but it's not necessarily the government's role to step in and shut that person down. It's simply the market's role to say, hey, you got a crappy product, you're hurting people. So eventually, nobody's going to come to you for business because word about that is going to spread. And really, the only people that are going to come to you are the stupid people who aren't doing their research, basically, or uninformed people. And it sounds heartless, right? And it sounds kind of like a little bit harsh that someone who steps into, say, like the supplement industry and buys a supplement and doesn't know what they're doing is going to get hurt or is going to take steroids or is going to waste their money on sawdust. But you know what? You freaking didn't do your research. And so, you know, I'm kind of on the same page as you that I think that it all comes down to people creating awesome, pristine, clean products that work. And if they don't work and they hurt people, I don't really think it's the government's role to step in. I think that it is simply free market, right? And those people are eventually going to get shut down. Granted, they're going to hurt some people in the process, but that's kind of the way life is. So
it is. I mean, life isn't perfect. And unfortunately, we've gotten too touchy-feely. And people know that I'm not afraid, even though, you know, I try not to get involved in controversy, but I have been wrapped up in a few, that if you're acting the fool and, you know, someone points it out to me, I'm going to point it out. You know, I'm going to call you out on it. I think that's part of the problem. It's just in general today, actually just building another house. This is the third house I've built. And I just had to terminate yet another contractor. The business world in general today is we've allowed people to act the fool and get away with things without any consequences. Mm-hmm. That's the problem. And, you know, I make it very clear to people who I work with or who do services for me that, you know, I tell them, hey, this is my background. This is what I used to do. You know, I'm a college professor in criminal investigations. I mean, I'm an expert in this. I mean, don't try and pull the wool over my eyes.
Yeah.
Kid you not. People will do it. And I warn them up front. I go, here's the deal. If you screw me over, I'm going to make people very aware. And I just started on YouTube. I said, anyone from here on out, I'm doing a whole expose on you. And I'm going to put it on YouTube. I'm basically going to public
name
you. Yeah, because I've had it.
You mean like people in the supplement industry or people in the fitness industry?
Any service that I purchase or any product that I feel is done poorly in the sense of, you know, I give them chances to fix the problem. And if they don't fix the problem and I think that they're screwing the customer and doing it on purpose, I have a problem with that. And that's what I'm saying is in today in society is we have allowed companies and people who provide services to basically do whatever they want and provide a crappy service. And I've had large discussions about this with people in numerous forums, people who own their own companies, entrepreneurs, and a lot of people are just sick of it. You know, we're sick of, you know, crappy products, crappy customer service, and it's just take my money and move on. You don't even care if I repeat as a customer anymore.
Yeah.
You just want me one and done. You just want my cash.
I don't want to get negative and like start throwing people under the bus, but I am curious, like aside from the supplement industry, a horse that we've kind of kicked to death just now, what's something else you're going to make a YouTube video about?
Right now, nothing. I take that back. I'm going to do one generally on general contractors because this has hit a nerve.
On general So this isn't just like fitness stuff?
This is life.
Okay.
My whole thing, I mean, I focus on nutrition and fitness, but the Primal Power Method is about changing your life and changing it in a positive and better direction. You know, I talk about a little bit of everything. I mean, anything that affects your health, stress. So what's going to stress you out? You know, you got a bad general contractor and you're building the house. Anyone who's built a house, this is my third one. It is incredibly stressful to build a house. It is one of the most stressful things you'll ever do. And so that directly impacts your health.
It wasn't stressful for me. I just told my wife to make all the decisions. Then I went into a corner and wrote in my book. That was my approach, though, is I just kind of backed out. No, I mean, what I did was I researched, I brought stuff to the table. I brought it to the architect, the builders, the subcontractors, told them, hey, this is what I want in the house. But ultimately, it was more stressful for my wife because I designated her as the go-to person, which she was fine with because I told her, hey, look, I can either just like not work, not get anything done, produce zero blog posts for the next year and a half as we work on this house, or else I'll work on my book. I'll advise everyone on what we want to do to this house as far as like biohacking it with, you know, metal shielded hardwired Ethernet cable and zero Wi-Fi and low VOC compounds and, you know, lighting that's built around your natural circadian rhythm and all this stuff. But then at that point, I kind of backed out and let her make all the aesthetic, like head nodding decisions. So I think that, that the only way to not make it stressful is to basically just like back out and remove yourself from some of the decision making process. But I do agree that at some point somebody's going to be stressed out.
Well, not only that, but it's the general contractor field, which people who have ever dealt with it, and I've been dealing with it for 20 years now through multiple properties. I've bought and sold places. I owned apartments. I've owned land. I've been fairly well, have a decent background in the real estate industry, to include having a real estate license for a while to work with my properties. And, you know, it's just one of those fields that you go, you hate dealing with them. And I've heard and seen every scam they run known to man. And I've just had it. I said, you know what? That's it. I'm going to do a video on general contractors. I'll have to stereotype them to a point, but I'm going to give them the schemes. I'm going to warn people, these are the schemes. And even as much as I've dealt with them in the past and present, you know, even I get duped. You know, I made the mistake. I got so busy with my business, I allowed this contractor to have more free rein than I would have ever allowed, and took full advantage of it and did a lot of things that were very unscrupulous. So I went, you know what? Okay, I need to do a video and a blog post about this to try and help people. Mm-hmm. You know, because people know I'm building this house, and I get a ton of questions. They're all, who's your contractor? What are you doing? How are you building this? What materials are you using? And then I start getting the horror stories of their house and what they went through and what contractors they've had to deal with. And that's why I thought, you know, this would be a good instance to do that, you know, to help people out.
What's your YouTube channel?
It is just www.youtube.com/primalpowermethod.
So one of the things I wanted to ask you about, kind of related to this idea of things being counterfeit, right, in the fitness industry, the nutrition industry, and this is something I was talking with some people about. I just got back from Finland literally a few hours ago. My plane flew in the wee hours of the morning yesterday, and I was talking to some people over there at this biohacking summit about how so many people who walk around talking about anti-aging and longevity and, biohacking yourself to optimize the human machine, or however you want to describe it. They're, using testosterone replacements. And there were people there at the conference who I know were, you fall into this exact category, using testosterone replacements, using modafinil, not really exercising, but more really relying on like biohacks, like whatever, standing on a vibration platform, while drinking a superfood smoothie. For example, I went on a walk with a guy who is frankly, relatively well known in the anti-aging and longevity community. And he looked like he was going to have a heart attack after we walked a mile, because he uses hormones and supplements to get his body to be better, and that's how he plans on living a long time. What's your take on the fitness industry and why there's so many people either, like writing diet books, and there's people I can think of, I'm not gonna say names right now, but they've got some really good diet books, and they're fat, right? They're like probably pushing, like guys pushing 25-30% body fat. Or there are people pushing out like body weight workout programs and exercise programs who would probably get close to having like a paraventricular contraction or heart arrhythmia if they were to try to do like a Spartan race or something like that. Yeah. What's going on there? Why do you think that so many people in the fitness industry are fat, or they're always sick, or seem to have some kind of an immune system issue going on, or they're taking a shortcut, or they look like crap? And I know, and by the way, I realize that I'm being a little bit of an asshole right now, but it's just something that came up in the past few days that that I want to ask you about, because you're a fit dude and you practice what you preach. So I want to get your take on this.
Well, and not only that, but people need to know I have severe injuries too. I had spinal fusion 4 years ago. You know, I've had multiple surgeries. I've had many mechanical issues, nerve damage, and a lot of things relating to the nerve damage. And I'm able to stay fit because I know what I'm doing. And it's not because I do some crazy anti-aging chemical regime or exercise regimen. My stuff is as basic as it gets. I mean, and that's what I teach. With these guys, it's just like any business, any profession, is there's good and bad. Unfortunately, in the health industry, it tends to attract people who are, I call, morally broken. I mean, they just are. You know, they couldn't cut it as a real estate agent. They couldn't cut it at the car dealership. Now they've decided they're health experts because they downloaded an ebook on Amazon. And they lost 5 pounds, and then they managed to gain 25 instead of 5. And it's just a weird industry. And that's what I warn people about, is be careful where you're getting your information from. You know, there's a lot of people out there, and you know the 10,000 hour rule. You got to be an expert. And it seems today that, you know, I am going to name names here. I call it the Tim Ferriss model. You know, Tim Ferriss, not that I have anything against the guy, but the 4-hour work week is BS. I'm just going to say it.
Why?
Any entrepreneur, anything you do in life takes a lot of work. And I know that the trend right now is shortcutting everything and, you know, having a whole crew of people work for you and all you do is check your email once a day. That is such garbage, and it is such a poor work ethic.
There's nobody who says that they follow the 4-hour work week model that I know actually follows the 4-hour work week.
No one, because you can't.
Because it should be, and I know Tim has said this too, to his credit, that it's a little bit more, you know, it should have been titled, only spend 4 hours doing all the that you don't want to be doing,
you know?
But then you spend another, 30, 40, 50 hours a week writing blog posts or talking on the phone or doing things that, frankly, you don't mind doing. It's more about like outsourcing the things that you shouldn't be doing. But like, my brother, for example, I kind of got him started on like a 4-hour model where he's selling products on Amazon that he orders and resells. And technically, you can make money doing that on 4 hours of work a week when you talk about like just going in and spending time doing all the technical nitty gritty stuff on Amazon. But then he spends, you know, tens and tens of hours, additional hours each week or dozens of additional hours each week following up with customers and managing his other people who are doing customer service and speaking with vendors in China. And it's just, you know, you're right. There's this model of outsourcing, but a sexy term for it is 4-hour work week.
Well, and that's why I said I had to mention Tim, because that he's the one who wrote the book.
Yeah.
What I think is what happened with it, it was filled with great information. Don't get me wrong. That's why I said I have nothing against Tim. What people did is they took it and took it as more of a lazy person's method of running a business is the best way to put it. And he gave you great information, but people took it as, oh, I don't have to work. No, anything in life, even if we didn't have society today and you were out, you know, living, building your own shelter, hunting all your own food, you still have to work. I mean, you have to put effort in order to survive. And that's a common problem. And I think that goes back to these people in the health industry, is they're just lazy. It's a bottom line. They were lazy before they got into it. They're lazy while they got into it. Now they think they can take a couple seminars and read a couple books and call themselves an expert, and their heart's not in it. You know, people like me and you, you know, I've been around a long time. You know, I've been doing this for a long, long time, you know, and I've seen it all. I've seen it all. And everyone wants the quick fix. So what do these people do? Well, they placate to them. They say, okay, since you want it easy, I'm going to give you an easy solution that doesn't work It didn't work for me. It doesn't work for anyone. But I'm going to write a book about it and tell you, you know, all these shortcuts. And it's just garbage. And it's hard. It gets frustrating for a guy like me who works so hard and has worked so hard to become an expert and have the background that I have. You know, my background didn't come easy. I mean, I just didn't sign up for something online and get a certificate. You know, there's years and years of education, decades of work involved. And I think that's why people see me and, you know, it resonates and a lot of people, you know, trust me. And the fact is, because I practice what I preach, I don't pull any punches. What I tell you to do is what I do. It's what I tell my clients to do. And obviously, you got to tweak it for each individual. Everyone's different. But I have a pretty good method that is very successful and works for, you know, a majority of the people. You always have a certain group of people, just it, your method will not work for. But that's a small group. You know, everyone, I like that you said that everyone seems to have the same immune problem in this group. And I've called a couple of them out because one of them got real perturbed when I started showing recent pictures of this individual at conferences. And I said, huh, I guess you just decided to get skinny for the book publicity, but you didn't want to continue on with what you actually say works. And oh my God, the bloggers got sent after me. My website got shut down. I mean, it got nasty on Twitter. It was disgusting.
I go to conferences with a lot of these people in the fitness industry, right? Because I am, you know, considered to be whatever, one of the gurus, one of the experts. Yeah. I'm not as big as a lot of these guys, right? Like, you know, there are some people in the fitness industry who are freaking like rolling in dough.
Yep.
who are literally getting like, you know, 7-figure book contracts, who are, you know, selling tons of supplements and, you know, all this jazz. And, you know, I'm not at, you know, that level or whatever, but I certainly do wind up being kind of in these same peer groups at conferences.
Yeah.
And I'll go to, for example, I'll go to the gym, right, at the conference, like a hotel gym or the pool, or even like outside at 6 a.m. or 7 a.m. and I'll see nobody, right? Because everybody was out drinking until, yeah, you know, 1 a.m. or 2 a.m. in the morning. Or I will go to like lunch in the midday at a conference, and, you know, people will sit at lunch for 2 hours. You know, I'll have a nice conversation, eat lunch for 20 minutes, and then go on like a 30-minute walk in the sunshine to reduce postprandial blood glucose levels. And people aren't doing that. I'll be standing up, right? And I'm not saying this to make myself sound cool. I'm giving examples of what people should be doing. But I'll go in the back and I'll stand up and I'll be stretching, and you'll look at these so-called health and fitness experts, these gurus who are telling people how to get nice bodies when they themselves are fat and sick, and they'll sit for 3, 4, 5 hours in a row at a conference and not even like get up and move at all. Wow. And it's one of those things where I think a big part of it comes down to frigging lifestyle. It's so easy to hit send on an email to 50,000 people and watch the money roll in from some supplement that you've just launched, and then decide that because of that, because you've made it, right? There's no reason for you to keep doing the things that might inspire people even more or teach people even more. Spend time in the trenches, putting work into your own body, and, you know, making yourself healthy and fit and able to live a long time and able to walk more than a freaking mile without getting out of breath.
Well, the worst is at the conferences too, when you ride around after lunches, there's a whole group of them sitting around smoking cigarettes.
Yeah,
they got their smoke breaks.
Yep.
I'll be honest with you, Ben, I don't even go to those conferences anymore. I've pretty much said enough's enough. I don't even really hang out in the world that I'm associated with, because I've become so disgusted with it.
Yeah, I do. I go to the conferences. Well, a lot of them I'm talking at, but I also want to keep my finger on the pulse, right? Because a big part of the fitness industry is knowing people, right? Like there is a certain amount of networking that's involved, and I do go out of my way to make sure that, you know, that I know who's who and that I show up at these conferences. So that is important to me. But at the same time, you know, well, this is something I want to ask you about, Gary.
Sure.
You know, and again, folks, if you're listening, and you can go to the show notes, bengreenfieldfitness.com/unfit. You can go check out Gary's Primal Power Method, program that he's written about, and some of his workouts and routines and lifestyle, and also photos of him. Because you're fit, Gary. But what do you do? Like, what's your exercise routine or your daily routine that you would say allows you to practice what you preach?
Well, the simplest way to put it is I don't technically have a routine, and I tell people that. I go with how my body and the factors of my life take me. There are times when I can't work out as much as I would like to, but that doesn't mean I'm not physically active. Right now I'm building a house. So after this interview, I got to run up to the property and I'll work there for 6 hours, or until it gets dark. That's exercise. I mean, that's my daily dose. But I come from the older generation. I grew up with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Franco Colombo and Lou Ferrigno and pumping iron. That's what I grew up with. And I'll be honest, those guys didn't have the principles all that far wrong. So I'm a guy who likes to go to the gym. I like to pump iron. I can't lift as heavy as I used to back in the day. I got too many injuries, not from lifting. All of them are actually from law enforcement and military and sports. But, I usually go in there. My main go-to routine is pull-ups, dips, air squats, and I'll mix in some push-ups, and I do it in a cycle of 8. And I do each one, till I can't do them anymore. So
what do you mean? What do you mean a cycle of 8?
A cycle of 8. So I'll go through 8 repetitions. So I'll do, let's say I'll start with pull-ups, then I go to dips, then I go to air squats.
For only 8 repetitions, you must be doing them kind of slowly and controlled?
Varies. And that's where I tell people, I change everything up every day. I don't think about what I'm going to do until I actually step foot in the gym. The best way to put it is I really don't plan my workouts. I've been doing it for so long that it's kind of autopilot. I walk in there and I just go, I feel like doing this today. I don't try and, combine body parts specifically, push and pull technique. Will I do it sometimes? Yeah. But I just mix everything up because in nature, we wouldn't have picked and chose what kind of physical exertion we were going to perform that day. It was survival. So it would have been wide varied and it would have been very, very different every day, every hour. It would depend. And that's kind of how I live my life because of my injuries. With the spinal fusion, I can't load up my back. So I have to be very careful. There's no weighted squats. And I got away from those quite a while ago, many, many years ago. And I don't tell my athletes to do them just because it's too much pressure on the spine. But
yeah, weighted squats are even tough for me. I like the concept, and I forget who said this, that you can constantly progress your deadlift, but once you get to a certain weight in the squat, it is okay to maintain that weight because constant progression in the squat eventually at some point can lead to a back or knee issue that kind of shoves you back a couple of steps. Then you start over and work your way back up to an injury. And that was some of the best advice that I think I've ever been given is giving myself permission to progress and get stronger on a deadlift while keeping the squat relatively constant. I know there's some hardcore weightlifters who will scoff at that, but it's worked out very well for me as far as maintaining an injury-free status.
And that's what I tell people too. It's like how powerlifting and Olympic lifting's become very popular in certain circles and certain, shall we say, fitness models. I'll leave it at that. Anyone who knows what I'm talking about, because I just actually did a podcast on this. I'm on a weekly podcast for a big podcast where I do health and nutrition. And here's the thing. Powerlifting and Olympic lifting is very specific to powerlifters and Olympic lifters. It takes them years and years and years to perfect those lifts. For an average person to go out and start doing these lifts, first of all, they're not functional. When is a clean and jerk functional? You tell me anything you're going to do in the world where you're going to do a clean and jerk. You're not. It is absolutely horrible for the human body to continually do, any kind of jerk technique. Kipping, I hate that.
For people who are unfamiliar with the clean and jerk, it's basically ripping a weight off the ground and then hoisting it overhead quickly and explosively.
Yeah. And I tell people, I go, there's no natural movement. I mean, you just wouldn't do that. So why would you punish your body as a normal, everyday person to do these type of lifts? I mean, are you a power lifter? Are you going to compete? Are you trying to train for the Olympics? I mean, competitions, what are you doing? Why would you do that?
I think if you're training for competition, Absolutely. Or yeah. Even like in my case, I mean, I'll be frank with you, Gary. I do that lift. And the reason I do it is because I'm training for Spartans and some other events that I could train for by simply doing running and pull-ups. But the main reason is I just want variety, right? So I'll do some swings. Mm-hmm. I'll do some clean and jerks. I'll do some other things that have been proven to be able to maintain aerobic capacity, et cetera, without necessarily having to run, right? So you can load your joints from different yep. directions and still stimulate the same physiological mechanisms as you get when you're running, sprinting, et cetera. At the same time, though, I don't go heavy, right? So like a clean and jerk yeah. for me will be with about 120-pound sandbag, right?
Well, here's the difference, though. You're a professional. That's a big, big difference. And what I'm talking about is just the everyday person trying to lose weight and get in better shape.
I gotcha.
And that's where I like to separate. I go, you know, leave the professional exercises to the professionals. And for the average person, do you need to put your body through those type of extremes? No. Can it help you? Yes and no. I mean, depending. I know a lot of people who had catastrophic injuries and had to have major surgery by doing those lifts because they had no background in it. You know, you can get hurt doing anything, but why would you want to exponentially increase that factor for no real reason? I've just been doing this so long, and I've just seen so many horrific injuries off those lifts that I'm not totally opposed to them, but I'm opposed to someone who doesn't have a background or looking to compete doing them, and doing them with someone who took a weekend class and is now considered a fitness instructor.
A lot of this goes beyond fitness. You know, like, as you know, I wrote, you know, Beyond Training, in which I talk about why a lot of this goes beyond just working out.
Yep.
For you seem like you're pretty tuned in to everything from the supplement and health industry to fitness. But I'm curious if you personally pay attention to being healthy, not just on the outside, but also on the inside, because you know, I have a picture posted to you over at the show notes of you hoisting a mountain bike over your head with your shirt off, which yeah. is great. But I've also looked at the blood and biomarkers of a lot of triathletes who look great in spandex, but who have, you know, low testosterone or high levels of HSCRP, things like that. Do you self-quantify at all or pay attention to any of those variables?
Oh, what's the best way to put it? I do and I don't. Do I periodically monitor my blood and take a lot of other tests? I do not. I do have blood tests taken from time to time. And here's my thing about blood tests. It's a snapshot of that moment. So you have to take it with a grain of salt.
Well, it's not necessarily a snapshot of the moment. You know, like hemoglobin A1C, for example, right? It's like a 3-month snapshot of your blood glucose levels. Or, you know, HSCRP. Yeah, it's a snapshot of inflammation. But mm-hmm. it's a pretty good corollary of inflammatory levels that can be chronic, or like cholesterol, for example, right? Like if you have a really yeah. high particle count or a high level of small LDL particles, it can be indicative that you've been fighting inflammation for a long time, right? Like that's not just something that's going to go up when you say have some eggs fried in oil.
Yeah. And that's right. You know, and that's what I mean though. For me, my blood tests, they've always been pretty standard. I mean, it's pretty much the same every time for the last, you know, when I started going into the military 30 years ago. Where did I start? 25 years ago now. And not much has changed far as even when I was eating unhealthier, I thought I was healthy. My blood was pretty close. I mean, it was because I was doing my best. Is it a little better now? A little bit. And that's why, you know, for me, I'm a simpleton. But if you're starting out and you're just trying to change your life, absolutely, you need to go and get all your biomarkers, get your blood work. I always stress, you know, get an allergy test if you can. The problem with allergy tests, though, I found those to be very, very inconsistent.
Yeah.
Especially with foods. You know, I have stuff that shows up that I'm supposed to be sensitive to that I'm not. Then I have stuff that doesn't show up at all on the allergy test that just wreck me.
I had Dr. Anthony Beck on the podcast recently, and he swears by the ELISA ACT test, which is an immunoglobulin test for sensitivity to various food proteins. And I've had a lot of people do that test and wind up showing allergic to a wide variety of foods that they constantly eat. And I suspect that it is because antibodies are circulating in their bloodstream to foods simply because they're eating a lot of those foods, yes, like eggs, for example. There is one form of food allergy testing that is supposed to be relatively gold standard. I know this can be confusing for people because, you know, Dr. Beck, for example, mentioned that he's not a fan of this style of testing, but it's through a company called Cyrex Laboratories. And that's where I send most of my clients. I tell them to go get like a Cyrex Array 3 for gluten sensitivity, or Array 4 for cross-react, which foods they could eat that could cross-react to gluten if they are sensitive to it. And then they also have one called Array 10. And it's simply the method of testing, right? Like the technical method of testing that they do results in fewer false positives. However, I agree with you that most of the food allergy tests out there don't seem to be that accurate. At the same time, Gary, I think that there tends to be, and I don't want to say this to make you, to be disrespectful or to make it sound like I'm calling you too old school or whatever, but sometimes I think that old school mentality is something that can come back to bite people. Like I was talking to Commander Mark Devine of SealFit, who didn't really track heart rate variability or any of these technical ways to see if the body is recovered, because he said he likes to just go by feel. And I really think that you can have the best of both worlds. I would love to see more people in the health and fitness industry kind of doing both, right? Like being able to unplug and pay attention to how the body feels, but also knowing how to use a lot of these tools like heart rate variability, or being willing to put down the money and self-quantify, you know, do like a blood test once a year or something like that.
Yeah. I'm with you on that. And I'm not saying never do a blood test. I know people who just monitor their blood all the time, and they're not competing athletes. If you're a competing athlete, and that's why I try and separate the two, it's two different worlds. The everyday person and a competitive athlete, your goals are very different, and how you approach health is actually quite different. You know, for me, getting a blood test once a year, absolutely. I mean, it does not hurt if you have the insurance that will cover it or the financial means to get a full physical once a year. And that's where I'm different too from a lot of the ancestral health and hardline paleo people, is I'm an integrative guy. I believe in modern medicine integrated with ancestral health and ancient types of medicine. And I think you got to use both. Never rely on one or the other, because just as much as I found corrupt and dirty people in our modern medical world, I found them. I also did investigations on holistic practitioners, NDs, DOs, and I'll tell you what, both worlds were just as bad. I'll be directly honest. All these people being the holier than thou, you know, that I'm a natural practitioner, this and that, they were just as scummy as the, you know, the MDs and modern medical people.
A lot of them are in the pocket of alternative medical companies in the same way, yep, that MDs are in the pocket of pharmaceutical companies. And, you know, and you, this probably happens to you, right? Like I get emails and inquiries all the time for me to support some product that I haven't even tried, right? Like a lot of times people will literally straight up want to pay me to write a, yep, blog post or to run an ad for something that I really haven't tried. And you know what? It's freaking tempting. You know, when you get offered a few thousand bucks to say something about a product, that's tempting. And I see where some health practitioners, even people in like alternative medicine, I see where they're coming from. I understand, like, you know, people aren't perfect. People can get weak. People can get tempted by money, frankly, by dollar signs. But,
well, that's the human nature. You know, we're survivalists, and however we have to do that. And with me, what people have found is I'm not perfect. Hey, I don't profess to be by any stretch, but they know my moral compass is pretty strong, and I refuse. I get hit up all the time too. I'm very, very vocal about certain companies and certain methods, approaches of marketing and how it's done. And I tell people simply this, the test for me is simple. If I wanted to be a millionaire, I could be a millionaire within 3 months. No problem. No problem at all. I'm an expert in schemes. That's what I did. I investigated every scheme known to man. White collar side, everything. It's the moral compass that keeps me grounded. And the reason I got into this business wasn't because I wanted to make money. There was 50 million other ways for me to make money when I left the government. I had many job offers. I had publishing deals to write tell-alls about my government experience, because I had quite an interesting one at the end. And I said, absolutely not. That's not what I'm about, and that's not what I want to do. I pursued the health aspect and nutrition and fitness aspect because I was passionate about it. And I supported myself, and I still do support myself with other means. This is not my sole income. And the reason I do that until it becomes, you know, my sole income source, is that it keeps me on the right path. If I was looking at this just to make a living, I would be doing everything wrong, and I would be a detriment to the people I'm trying to help. And that's what I teach, you know. It's about being a better person. Don't be a jack, you know, don't be an ass clown. I mean, life is too short. I mean, I investigated some of the...
I think that should be the tagline on your website, by the way. Don't be an ass clown.
Well, and I mean, the people I investigated, some of them were multi-millionaires. I'm talking billion-dollar, you know, health companies, too, when we got into the huge nationwide investigations. One thing that always rang true, these people were very miserable, they had no friends, and they were always looking over their shoulder. That is no way to go through life. And if you think that money and doing things and taking shortcuts is going to fix that, it's not. I've watched it. I've watched it in my family. I've watched it in my friends. I've watched it in investigations. So why put yourself through that? You know, do things right. And your main goal of any entrepreneurial spirit or business venture is to provide a service first. It is to help people, to give them something that they need, not something that they necessarily want. You know what I mean? There's a difference. Yeah. I want donuts. I don't need donuts. You know what I mean? And that's the difference, you know? And I think that's what's been lost today in most, especially in the health industry, like we were talking about. It just seems to be a funnel for people who are looking for a quick buck. And it's sad, because it does a lot more harm than good.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this particular episode, like all our episodes, is going to be open to comments. And I know that if you're listening in, you probably have your own thoughts for Gary or your own thoughts for me. They might be strong. They might be in contrast to some of the stuff that we've just said. And that's fine. The only comments that I get rid of or delete at BenGrinchwellFitness.com are comments where somebody who is trying to sell a product hops on and posts something in the comments section with a link to their product. That's the only way to get your comment deleted. But otherwise, as you know, if you go through and read the comments, I will publish anything. You can be truthful, and I do not prune comments on the Facebook page or on the blog post. So it's totally open discussion. You can join the discussion for this one over at BenGreenfieldFitness.com/unfit, and you can share your thoughts there. In addition, you can check out all of Gary's products when you visit the show notes over there. And his website is PrimalPowerMethod.com. If you just want to go to PrimalPowerMethod.com, I'll also link to that over in the show notes as well. So again, the show notes are at BenGreenfieldFitness.com/unfit. So Gary, thanks for coming on the call and having this discussion, man. I think this was really insightful.
Hey, thanks a lot for having me on, Ben. Like I said, I'm a little different animal than most. It's nice to get out there, and not that I don't pay attention. I do. You're one of the people I've watched over the years, and there's certain groups of people that I watch, but I do my own thing. You know, I'm so busy. I don't get too sucked in, but I will leave this. I know you say you allow people to post comments in it, but unless they put links. If anyone puts a link to a product or tries to do something shady like that, not only do I not post or comment, I block them, ban them, and I'll report them. I don't. Nice.
You go special agent on their ass.
I do, and I warn people, just don't go that route. You'll just never be allowed on again. So.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Cool. Well, good to know. Gary, thanks for your time today. And if you're listening in, thanks for listening in, and stay tuned for more content, of course, coming in the future. But in the meantime, have a healthy week. I'm Ben Greenfield, along with Gary Collins, signing out from BenGreenfieldFitness.com.
You've been listening to the Ben Greenfield Fitness Podcast. Go to BenGreenfieldFitness.com for even more cutting-edge fitness and performance advice.